Well, good morning, everyone. After a song like we've just sung, you can't afford to have emphysema or COVID or anything else. It should all be gone. Either that or you wouldn't have been singing. But, what a great hymn. I want to pick up a number of things through this reading that we've had this morning, but I want to engage you with me as people, persons. You are who you are, I am who I am, and each of us created in the image and likeness of God. Just contemplate that for a moment. Created in the image and likeness of God. That image allows you and I to know, K-N-O-W, to know, to will, to love, to recognise and live as those holy. We think, we consider. I want us to be encouraged to think and consider together as we just read these verses, as we've had them read, but we'll look at them again. See how that works out in our lives, my life, your life. How these truths that we have reported here, written down for us, God's word to us, how that actually affects life, your life, my life, in the things of today. Life's an interesting thing, isn't it? Most of us, our hair is getting greyer and less, even though there's a certain group of folk in our world that colour change to keep it from showing that so much. And I'm interested in what Ray's going to look at there in that whole issue of growing old. You may have found, and I find, as we begin to grow old, different things come to us in different ways. We're affected differently. The things that when you're a middle-aged person, whatever age that may happen to be, or when you're young, as you grow older, certain things that you didn't even recognise were there become more focused, don't they? Like, we pray for people whose bodies are wearing out. Some of us make out our bodies don't wear out, but they do. And we discover that as we go. Here's John, an old man, and he's writing to folk that he knows and loves. Those who claim to love God, and yet there are times when they get out of order and they get wobbly. And yet he's longing for that fellowship between himself and them to be rich, and wants them to grow more as older people or as younger ones, whoever was in that fellowship. And that in that knowing of fellowship together, they would know that had its source and its spring, really its core place in the fellowship that each one of us has with the Father. And we'll look a little bit in a moment about how rich and full that fellowship is between the Son and the Father, and between us as sons and daughters and the Father, but that working out amongst us. So with me, will you consider this small section in a moment? Let's pray. We have a few minutes, Father, just to look at your word. And we want that word of yours to put us under your scrutiny, not that word under ours. We want to have ears that hear, like we read for those of the disciples. We want to have wills that are submissive to you, and eyes to see by your Spirit the wonder of life in fullness, in fellowship, and to experience that as we live. So we've just asked this in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Advocate, and our atoning sacrifice. Amen. It's a pity we haven't got 65 Bibles. We could all have one and look at it together. But here we go. That which was from the beginning is the first words that are actually written here in the first letter to John. And the first words in the Gospel of John are very similar. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. That Word is capital W. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I want you to think, consider. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that's been made. And in him was life, in this Word. And that life that was in him was the light of man, of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now that's John's Gospel, where he starts his letter here. That which was from the beginning, which we, and that we that's being spoken of there is the disciples, we've heard, we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked at. And I assume that to look at something is more than just, oh yeah, I saw that. We gaze upon something, we look at it, let it penetrate us, let it enter into us in some way. So we've looked and our hands have touched this, we proclaim to you, this Word that we've seen, we've touched, we've heard, we've gazed upon. John, an old man, through the rigours of life, and he still wants for people to hear what he has to say about this one, this Word of life. The second verse is really a bit of a rerun of that first verse. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. We bear a witness that comes from our heart to yours. We testify to it and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So this Word, which he said in his Gospel is life and light, unfolding for us to be enlightened by, he is eternal life. And your minds, Christian folk, you would have had numbers of places where we read that eternal life is in Christ Jesus, and also that this is eternal life, to know, which is an experience of living. To know something is an experience of living. It's not just information. To know in the experience of living, to know the Father and the Son whom the Father has sent, that experience of life that you're living in is eternal life right now. Got a few bumps in it, haven't it? Eternal life. It immediately has put us in opposition to a whole world system. And if you're not having a battle here, see, listen to what John's proclaiming to us. So we go on. We proclaim to you, he reiterates that, and proclaims a telling out thing, isn't he? He's not just saying, oh, saying, I want to tell you something, I proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you, this is the reason for you wanting to do it, so that you also may have fellowship with us, with these disciples. I don't know how many were around when John wrote this, but there may have been still a few. And he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm writing this so that our or your joy may be filled out, full, mature, complete. Here we are. Opportunity for the filling out as we hear God's word proclaimed week by week and time by time. Amazing thing, isn't it? To be being filled full by that word who is life and light, that one that John knew in that particular way and longs for his readers back there to know in that same way, and which I believe the scriptures always have that forward look. They're always looking forward to those who come after and to the eternities. We're not just living for today, people, are we? Well, what is it that just in this little section John wants to speak about, that he wants them to know, that he's proclaiming to them? And in verse 5 we read these words, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. This is the message. This is the one. I want you to know it. And have a listen to, again, from back in John's Gospel, because he's speaking about those same kinds of things. He says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So for you today, for those people in John's day as he wrote his letter, Jesus is your light. He is my light. He is my life. Not as a statement of faith, but a life that we're living. He is our light, shows us our way. He is our way. He is our life in that relationship with him. And in a couple of verses further on in that gospel, he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. It's quite an amazing thing, that true light, Jesus. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't know him. It didn't recognise who he was. He came to those which were his own, but his own would not, did not receive him. It's a strange thing, isn't it? We've all got family groupings, haven't we? And we've got situations sometimes where we or that person is not received within that family. They're part of the family, but not received. Yet, to all who did receive him, this Jesus, this light of the world, those who believed in his name, that's in his person and authority, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. Born of God. Does that, I think one of our songs said, stimulate our thinking, that if we're in the family of God, we're born of God? That's a God action that's brought us to where we are. And in those verses 5-7, this is the message we've heard from him, it's from this word from Jesus, and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, you and I have lived, most of us have lived life. There's a little one down the back there that, well, she's not down the back there at the moment, but hasn't lived life very long. But most of us, if we've lived life for a while, we have questions about God. I know we're very faithful Christians and we never question God, do we? Never said why. Never said how come. What's that all about? And sometimes we hang on to that for a long while, don't we? And it bugs us. And it builds up something inside of us that makes it difficult for us to come face to face, openly, submissive to who God is. We don't understand. Well, no darkness at all, John says. Nothing perverse, nothing that's out to get us. Just love, holy, true love in action, which is strong and very, very gentle, both. Now, I was reading and I've reread and reread and reread these verses here, and it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, this is my translation, it doesn't add up. It says in my translation, we lie and do not do the truth. So if we claim to have fellowship with God, with Jesus, yet walk in darkness, and we know what our darkness was, dead in our trespasses and sins. That's an expression the Bible uses numbers of ways in numbers of times. So if we walk in that old manner of life, which will have to do with the way we handle things that go wrong, it'll have to do with the way we treat one another, it'll be having to do with whether I'm first or somebody else is. It's all just practical living of life stuff. And walking in darkness is governed by its head, the evil one, the strong man in the parable of Jesus. And to walk in the light is governed by the stronger than the strong man in that same parable, who is Jesus himself, who comes in and invades the strong man's goods and sets them free. So here we have it. This is quite an astounding thing, that we could be walking in the light and living as though we're walking in the darkness still. And the practical side of it, here he says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his sons, sorry, that's the Father that's speaking here, a speaker spoken of here, fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us, or goes on purifying us from all sin. Now the question I want to ask us this morning, as a believer who is confronted by the accusations and the deceit of the evil one all the time, do you and do I walk in the light, or do I walk in the light some days and in the darkness others? I'm asking you a question. I'm not asking you to say it out loud. You might say the right answer. What's the ongoing promise under the new covenant that God has made? It's referred to in numbers of places. Things like, he has brought us out of darkness into his marvellous light. We didn't clamber out of our darkness and somehow get into his marvellous light. He brought us out. He's the one who's done that work. And I want to assure us, whether we're older or younger, if you know who God is, if you know something that's going to be said in a few verses' time of the sacrifice that was made that we might be in the light instead of in the darkness, we are in the light. You are in the light because God has placed us there. So we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, goes on purifying us, cleansing us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, here's the other side of that coin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, I want to take you back. This is why I think it'd be wonderful to have Bibles in front of you or phones with this up on it. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, walk as though we're in the darkness, we lie. There's a statement John's making. We lie. Here he's saying, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Put your hands up if you've got no sin. Put your hands up if you don't have to bear your sins. Okay? Have you got any sins? Happy about that? That's the battle, isn't it? If we claim we haven't got any sins, and if I just take a personal, practical illustration of what it is to deceive ourselves and say we have no sins, when someone accuses me of something or another and says, you da-da-da-da-da-da, I didn't. It's about as simple and as quick as that, isn't it? You know, I know. It was... But if we confess our sins, we own that, we're sinners still. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, God is faithful. We're not too good at that, are we, being faithful? But he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's his ongoing work in you and I. Marvellous thing, isn't it? That God's still at work within you and within me and within us as people of God. Here again we have an astounding verse. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. You just think about the tragedy of that in our thinking. If we were to claim we've not sinned and we're actually making God out to be a liar, he says we have. And his word is not in us. How secure are we as God's children? I was reading these words from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning, like have purpose to? I like doing this, so I'll just keep on doing it. You realise there's no forgiveness for impenitence, is there? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? God forbid. We are those who've died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? That's the thing that troubles us. We don't want to be there, do we? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, this baptism we're talking about, I think, is that unifying action that God has done for you and me, that somehow or another, amazingly, he's taken hold of you and taken you down into the death of Jesus on that cross. The old hymn, "Were You There?" Yep, we were there, baptized into Jesus and baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him. Now, I'm just hoping that you're adding all these things, as mature Christians, many of you, you're adding these things on top, one on top of the other. This is what God has done. These are the things we can come back to in security when our faith wobbles. We were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in newness of life. Newness of life in the light. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old humanity, our old self, it says in my translation, that old humanity, that darkness that we were in, was crucified with Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Set free from sin. Died in Christ. If we're not going to die in Christ, we're going to have to die our own death. And you know and I know that the wages of sin is death. That's just how it is. But if we can die with Christ and live in him, so you can see the wonder of what it is that Jesus says that day at a funeral or following a funeral, on the resurrection of the life. He who lives and believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. In fact, he shall never die. It's our hope, isn't it, that we've been joined together with Christ. Chapter 2 started with these words, "My dear children, I write this to you." And again he has that little phrase, so that you will not sin. John's deep desire, and that, don't you find that's yours? We don't want to sin. I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. An advocate. Someone that will stand in for you, for me, for all of God's children, all whom he has called to himself. It's a pretty incredible thing, isn't it? We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Not Doug, who's becoming more and more righteous, because he's not. But the only righteous man who still is righteous and has been shown to be so in his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, advocate for us. And we've not got a lot of time to talk about it, but that final verse we read this morning is, he, that's this Jesus Christ, the advocate, the righteous one, he is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of you and I, and more than that, for the sins of the whole world. Not everyone knows that. We've already talked about it earlier in our service. That's why we have a story to tell to the nations. That's why we want to tell it. And we tell it out of the same thrust and heart that John had. He knows this fellowship with the Father and with his Son. And he wants that to be our joy full. And that'll be what sends us out in that kind of way. Want to ask a simple question. Since the Father has joined us to Christ, and since in the mercy and goodness of God, his dear Spirit has made that known to us and shown it to us in our depths, and since we have an advocate, one who will stand in there and fight for us against the thrust of the evil one on behalf of you and I, and as those who are walking in the light, who have the accuser all the time trying to knock us over and say, no, you're not really in the light at all, how wonderful it is to know that ongoing cleansing. Day by day, we share week by week at the table. There's an old hymn, isn't there? There's a fountain filled with blood. But if Jesus himself, our advocate, is that atoning sacrifice, I wonder if we know that time where perhaps for the first time we placed our hand on our sacrifice's head, on that bloody brow perhaps, and in that way in which in the Old Testament a humble person who was repentant of their sins would come and put their hand on a sheep or a goat's head, and the way God had for that sacrifice in that day was that the sins would be transferred onto the head of this one, and then that offerer would slay that animal and its blood would be poured out. We have placed in faith our hands on the head of Jesus, and he has borne away our sins. He has made a covering for them. He has come into your depths and gone through that with a cleansing agent we've never known apart from there, down into the conscience to make us clean so that we can live. It's a pretty amazing thing. Not just to hear about or to know about, but to recognise my sins have been purified. Let's tell a little story of an older lady I bumped into one day. Got done work for her as a carpenter. And she'd been overseas and she'd come back, and I thought, well, that's strange, she was back early. I was going past her house, so I stopped and talked to her, and I discovered that her second husband, she'd been married and her husband had died, she'd remarried her husband while they were overseas, had passed away. And she'd come back and she was fairly distraught about it all. And we got to talking and she started to talk about who God was. And she'd tried hard all her life. This is an older woman, would have been in her 80s. And she'd tried hard. She'd sung in the choir, she'd done flowers, she'd done all sorts of things, taught in Sunday school all through her years. And it all got a bit wearisome towards the end. And we just chatted together there and shared the thing that they are not the things that put us right with God. God puts us right with God. And that lady heard something. And I didn't see her for quite some time. I didn't have any occasion to. And I found out later on that she was an aunt to my sister-in-law. And she told me, my aunt started going back to church again. I wonder why. I wonder why or how it was that she got over just all too much this church thing. And instead there was something fresh again that's there. Jesus, our sacrifice, our advocate, the one bearing away our sins. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the surety of the gospel, the good news, that which comes to us, bringing us time and time and time again back to those things that truly are, back to the truth, back to those things that these dear disciples, through all their hardships, have recorded for us, which by your hand, Father, you have here in our Bibles. How wonderful to hear the testimony of people who go on reading and putting themselves unto that great and wonderful word of life, our Saviour, your Son. So, Father, as we go on in life ourselves, just give us that joy of fellowship with you, your Son, and each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.